B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin daf lamed vav. We're going to start on the second line from the top of the Amud. And we're in the middle of a sugya. We saw in the Mishnah on daf lamed hey Amud Aleph that if you have a sofik, if an Eruv is valid or invalid, then we saw that Rav Meir holds that it's called chamar gamal, which means that you have to be more stringent. You have to be cautious that the Eruv is possibly not valid. And Rabbi Yossi says, as with Rabbi Shimon, says that Sofik Eruv is kosher. That if you have a doubt whether the Eruv is valid or not, you can be lenient and assume it's valid. However, in the Mishnah we saw in Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, if somebody who was Tomei went into the mikveh, and we have a Sofik, a doubt as to whether his Tevila was a good Tevila or not, for different reasons we saw there, then it depends. If he was Tomei min ha-toira, and now we don't know if he became Tohoir, he's still Tomei. However, if he was only Tomei mid-Rabbonon, as we saw on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, then according to Rabbi Yossi, we saw over there, Rabbi Yossi said, Metamei, even if it's only mid-Rabbonon, not like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said the Sofik is Tohir. Rabbi Yossi said the Sofik is Tomei, even though it's a Sofik in Durabonons. And the question is, the Gemara is now asking, this seems to be a contradiction between Tevila Durabonon that Rabbi Yossi is Machmir and Tchumin Durabonon where Rabbi Yossi is Mekel. Says the Gemara, Kashya Rabbi Yossi as Rabbi Yossi. How are we going to explain the seeming contradiction with Rabbi Yossi? Answers the Gemara, Omer Vuna Bar Chinino, Shani Tuma Hoyl Vyesh Lo Ikur Min HaTorah. Regarding Tvila, which is Tuma, even though he's Tuma midrabonon, but Tomei, this concept of Tuma and Tara, is one which has a basis in the Torah, and there are many types of Tomei min ha-Torah, and therefore, even though it's a Sofik, in this particular case that he was Tomei midrabonon, we don't want people to become lax with the halachas of Tvila, and therefore he was Machmir. However, in the case of Tchumin, we assume that it's Durabonon, and you can be Mekel. Asks the Gemara, Shabbos Nami Doraisahi, do we not hold that Tchumin is Min HaTorah? We saw there's an opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says Tchumin is Min HaTorah, and others who hold Tchumin is Min HaTorah. Does Rabbi Yossi not hold that Tchumin is Min HaTorah, in which case if you have a Sofik, whether the Tchum is valid, it should be L'chumra, not L'kula, as he says in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Kosova Rabbi Yossi, Tchumin Durabonon. Rabbi Yossi holds Tchumin is Durabonon, and it's not like Tuma that's Durabonon that could easily get confused with Tuma min HaTorah. Tchumin has got nothing to get confused with. It's true that there are melachis, activities that are osur on Shabbos min HaTorah, but they are very, very different from Tchumin. Tchumin is just about walking outside the certain boundary, outside a certain distance from the city or from where the person was at the onset of Shabbos. That's not a concept that will easily be confused with other melachas, and therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, since Tchumin is Durabonon, if you have a Sofik, you can be Mekel. That was one explanation to explain the contradiction between Tvila and Tchumin, that Tchumin is Midrabonon and we're Mekel. Tvila is also Midrabonon, but we're Machmir in order that we should not get confused with those Tumais that are Min HaTorah. V boy same, there's another way of explaining the contradiction. Hardi day, harder rabbi. In the case of Tuma, where Rabbi Yossi is Machmir, Rabbi Yossi holds that even the Sofik, which is Durabonon, he's Machmir. Harder rabbi, this that we saw in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi is lenient with Sofik of Tchumin, that wasn't his own opinion. It was actually the opinion of his Rebbe. Dai kenami diktoni, we actually saw in the Mishnah itself, at the end of the Mishnah said, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Avtulmos heid mishum chamishas kenim. Avtulmos was a Rebbe of Rabbi Yossi. And it was Avtulmos who attested to the fact, in the name of five sages, five elders, that Sofik Eruv is kosher. But it was not Rabbi Yossi's own opinion. Dai kenami diktoni, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Avtulmos heid mishum chamishas kenim, shesofik Eruv kosher. So you see that the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi was Mekel, he was more lenient, was not his own opinion, it was the opinion of his Rebbe, Shema Mina, and that's how we've explained the contradiction. Continues the Gemara, Rava Omar, a third explanation to explain how the two opinions of Rabbi Yossi are not a contradiction. Hosom, in the case of Tvila, that we go L'chumra, Hainu Tamad Rabbi Yossi, the reason that Rabbi Yossi is Machmir is Hamid Tuma Al Choskosa Iva'ima Loi Toval. We know that the person before he immersed in the mikveh, or before he was supposed to immerse in the mikveh, he was definitely Tomei. So we presume that, as with every chazaka, we presume that the status he had before is one that continues status quo until proven otherwise. Since we do not know that he went into a mikveh that was a valid tvila, therefore we continue assuming that he was Tomei. However, in our Mishnah, we have two opposing chazakas. There's one chazaka that says that the truma was always tahir and therefore remained tahir, and therefore the eruv should be valid. However, there's another chazaka there, a chazaka that says that, as Rashi calls it, her made odom al cheskas tchum beisoy. Because let's remember, how does tchum work? Reuven is in his home, A. He wants to travel to B, which is 4,000 amos away. So what he does is, he's only allowed to travel 2,000 amos. He sends a shliach. If he goes himself, then he doesn't need an eruv. He doesn't need an eruv. We'll explain in a moment. But he sends a shliach. The shliach goes to C, which is in between A and B, which is less than 2,000 amos from A. He puts some food down representing Reuven, who lives in A and is presently residing in A, and putting food there with the intention that Reuven should acquire residence for Shabbos where his food is, and then he can continue and go. Reuven can then go from A to B, which is less than 2,000 amos, and continue from A to C, sorry, and then continue from C to B, which is again less than 2,000 amos. However, this person, the person who needs the Eruv, where is he now? Now he's in A, he's not at C. We say that we make an Eruv, we send an Eruv, and then, so to speak, he acquires residence where his food is. But where is he? He's at home, and in A. So there's a certain chazaka presumption that he is residing where he actually is present at the beginning of Shabbos, not where his food is. So if you know that his food was a valid Eruv, then the halacha is, we assume that he's residing, or we give him the status as if his residence is where the food is. But if we don't know if the Eruv is valid, then there's a chazaka that says that his residence is where he's actually in person. Obviously, if Reuven went himself to see the onset of Shabbos, then that's his place of residence in most basic terms. You don't need an Eruv for that. It's only the chiddush of Eruv is that even though Reuven is in A, he can send food to C that's representing him as if his residence is at C. So coming back to Eruv, you have a contradicting chazaka. There's one chazaka, a presumption that says that a person's residence is where he is, at home, at A, and then the Eruv is not assumed to be valid. On the other hand, you have a chazaka that the truma that he used for the Eruv was tahir and stayed tahir until proven otherwise, which is after nightfall, and then the Eruv would be valid. And since you have a contradiction in Chazakas, and Tchumin is Derabbanon, we go Lekula, we're Mekel. However, in the case of Tvila, all we know is that the person was Tomei. There's only one Chazaka that says he's Tomei, and therefore it's a Sofik. If he became Tahir, therefore Rabbi Yossi is Machmir. That's what Rava says. Asks the Gemara, Adarabba, there's another chazaka with tvila, and this time it's a chazaka going to the other way that would lend itself to being lenient, and then you'll be back to two chazakas, one being machmir, one being mekel, and then will be mekel as he was by tchum. What chazaka do we have that would allow him to be mekel by tvila? It's true that the person's status was one of tumah, and it needs to be proven otherwise. But what's our doubt? Our doubt is about the mikveh, whether the mikveh was kosher or not kosher. But the mikveh definitely was once kosher, we just don't know when it became possible. So why don't you assume that the mikveh that had a status of kosher is still kosher? In which case, at least in some of the cases mentioned, it will have a chazaka that says the mikveh was kosher and the tvila was a good tvila. So why are you Rabbi Yossi being machmir? Answers the Gemara, you're right. In the event that the mikveh indeed had a chazaka, had a status of being tohir, as being kosher, then we would take that into account, and the person who has a suffik, if he went into this mikveh before the mikveh became too small, with too little amount of water, then we would be lenient because we have that chazaka. In the event that he was only tomei midrabanon. But here we're talking about a mikveh that never established its status of being kosher. It was never measured. The mikveh shelo nimdad. Since it was never measured, it never had a status, a clear status of being kosher, and therefore we cannot use that chazaka. So we have a person that was definitely tomei, and he keeps that status until you can prove that he was tohir. And since we have a suffik about the mikveh, he remains tomei. That was Rava's explanation why the two rulings of Rabbi Yosi are not a contradiction. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, we learnt in a Braisa. Ketzad Omar Rabbi Yosi Sofik Eruv Kosher. We saw in our Mishnah that when you have a doubt whether the Eruv is kosher or not kosher, the Sofik Eruv Kosher. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you in what case we're talking about. Erev Bitruma. If somebody made an Eruv with Truma that was Tohir, Sofik Mibioidyoim Nitmes, Sofik Mishechashecho Nitmes, we don't know if the Truma became Tomei on Friday, in which case the Eruv is invalid because Truma Tamea is invalid for an Eruv according to all opinions. And if it became Tomei only after Chashecho, after nightfall, and the whole time of twilight of Bein Hashmoshes it was Tohir, the Eruv is a valid Eruv. If you had fruits that were vadai tevel, that they were clearly trumas and maestros had not been taken and were not valid to be used for an eruv, sofik mi boidyoim nitkanu, sofik mi shechashecho nitkanu, we don't know if they became nitkan, which means if trumas and maestros were taken on Friday, in which case the eruv is valid, or if they were only taken after Shabbos, after nightfall, Mishachashecho Nitkanu, Zeu Sofik Eruv Kosher. In these cases, you have a Sofik, and it's kosher, the Eruv is kosher. And we're soon going to see that I can understand if it was Truma Tahira, we have a Chazoka that says it was Tahir, therefore Sofik Eruv is Tahir. But if it was Tevel initially, which means you cannot use it for an Eruv, and now you don't know if when the Truma and Maestros were taken, why do we say it's Sofik Eruv Kosher? There you have a chazaka that says that it's Tevel and you cannot use it. The Gemara is about to deal with that. But let's first continue the Braisa. Aval Erev Betruma, Sofik Tahir or Sofik Tmeo. But if you have Truma that in and of itself was a Sofik Tahir or Sofik Tomei, it didn't have a Cheskas Taira to start with. And Rashi says here we're talking about that the Eruv itself, that means as he put the fruit down, the Truma down for the Eruv, it was already a Sofik. It's not as if when he put the Eruv in place, it was Tohir, and we don't know if after that at some point it became Tomei. That's the first case where we say Sofik Eruv is Tohir. Here we're talking about that when he put the Eruv down, it was already a Sofik. And then we don't use that Chazoka. And that's how Rashi learns here, and there's a big discussion why that should be the case. Tosfos has a bit of a different understanding here. Tosfos says Sofik Tahir, Sofik Tumah means you had two piles of fruits. One of them was Vadai Truma Tahira. The other one was Vadai Truma Tameya. And he doesn't know from which pile he took the food for the Eruv. So there you can't use a Chazaka. Either way, if you have Sofik Tahir or Sofik Tumah, V'chein Bepeiro is Sofik Nitkanu, Sofik Loi Nitkanu, if you have fruits that the essence of these fruits are that you don't know if they are Tevel or not Tevel, Ein Zeh Sofik Eruv Kosher. There's no Chazokas, and therefore the Eruv will not be valid. That's the end of the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Maishna Truma de Omrinon Heme Truma Al Cheskosa, V'eima Tahirahi. The first case we learnt in the Braisa, you had fruits that were or produce of Truma Tahira. You put it for as an Eruv. You don't know when it became Tomei. So the halacha is, it's Sofik Eruv, and it's Tahir. As Rabbi Yosi says in the Mishnah, here the Braisa says the same thing, that we assume that it's Tahir, or it stayed Tahir through Bein Hashmoshes, and the Eruv is valid. Why? Since it was Tahir before, we have a chazaka, a presumption that the status of Tahir continued until the very last possible moment. So if so, Peiris Namni, the fruits of Tevel, Heme Tevel al Cheskosa, why don't you assume that the Tevel status remained in place until the very last moment, until you know absolutely that Chomas and Maisus were taken? And since you do not know if they were taken during Bein HaShemashos or before Bein HaShemashos, Ve'eim Eloi Nitkenu, why over there do you not use the Chazaka to be Machmir? Why is that case also mentioned here that it's Sofik Eruv Kosher? Says the Gemara, Lo Teima Sofik Mibo'ijim Nitkenu. The word Nitkenu means that it was Tevel, and we don't know when it became Mesukan, when it became fixed, when it became fit, which means Chumas and Maisus were taken. And then the Gemara's got a good question. Why is Sofik Eruv Kosher? You have a Chazaka that it's Tevel. Elo'ema, instead of the word nitkenu, you should replace it with a word that's very similar. Sofik mib oidyoim nidmu. Nidmu means it got mixed in. And the truth is, we're talking about fruits for produce that Chumas and Maisus had been taken. The Braisa itself just said peiros, fruits, produce. It didn't say it was Tevel. We explained it that Tevel, why did we explain it that it was talking about Tevel? Because the version that we had in the Braisa is Sofik Mib'oidyoim Nitkenu. We don't know if it became fit before Bein HaShemashos or after Bein HaShemashos. So obviously we were talking about Tevel that needed to be fixed by taking Chumas and Maisus. Now we're changing that. We're saying the issue is not did it become fixed. The issue is did it become problematic by something else falling into it. Nidmu, a dema, means a mixture. So it was fruits that were completely masukan, the fruits that were completely fixed and fit to be eaten. And therefore it's like Chumat Tahira. It's a good Eruv. But we don't know at what point something fell in that's now making it invalid to be used as an Eruv. So there you have a chazoka, chazoka de mikara, the presumption that the fact that the fruits were not mixed initially, and therefore the Eruv is valid until you have proof that the status has changed, and that's only after nightfall, and therefore the Eruv is kosher. Sofik mib'oidyoim nidmu, sofik mishachasheicho nidmu. You don't know when did the mixture become invalid. Was it before Bein HaShemashos or after Bein HaShemashos? And therefore we use the chazaka to say that the fruits were okay until the end of Bein HaShemashos, and therefore the Eruv is valid. What could have got mixed in to the normal fruits, the chulin fruits, to make it now no longer usable for an Eruv? So Rashi says there's two options. Either if it was chulin and truma fell into it, and a truma only a kohen is allowed to eat, not a Yisrael. If the person using the Eruv is Yisrael and truma fell into his chulin fruits, the Yisrael is not allowed to eat this anymore. And we saw early on, according to Sumchus, a Yisrael may not use this as an Eruv. It's an invalid Eruv for the Yisrael. So according to Sumchus, that's what this mixture could be, that truma fell into the chulin. According to those who argue with Sumchus and say that a Yisrael is allowed to use even truma as an Eruv, even though he himself cannot eat it, it's a valid Eruv because a Kohen could eat it. What would we be talking about here? If Tevel fell into the mixture, and that point, even Yisrael, nobody is allowed to eat it, and therefore it becomes an invalid Eruv. And then when you have a Sofik, when it fell in, we have a Chazaka, a presumption that the previous status of Chulin, with not being mixed in with something that's Osa, that status continues until the end of Bein HaShemashos, and the Eruv is valid. Continues the Gemara, Boyer of Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok Mirvuna. Rav Shmuel asked Rav Huna the following question. Hoyu lefonov shtei kikrois. If a person had two loaves in front of him, and both of them were truma, achas tmeo v'achas tohiro. One was truma tohiro, the other one was truma tmeo. And truma tohiro, you can use for an eruv. A kohen definitely can, possibly even Israel, as we saw previously. V'omar, and the owner said to his shliach, irvuli b'tohiro b'chol mokim shehi. Take the two loaves, I don't know which one is Toyer, which one is Tommy. Take the two loaves, put them in the place where the Eruv is, and whichever loaf is Toyer, that's going to be my Eruv. Mahu, what's the halacha? And before the Gemara even discusses what the what the two sides are, we know that technically speaking, he cannot eat either of them because either of them could be truma tameya. The question is, but at the end of the day, one of them is truma tahira, even though he doesn't know which one it is. Is the eruv valid or not? Mau tiboya l'Rab Meir, tiboya l'Rab Yosi. This is a question on both sides. Tiboya l'Rab Meir. Rab Meir, who says that sofik eruv is machmir, we saw in the Mishnah. Maybe adkan loika omer Rab Meir hasam. When was Rab Meir machmir? Deleka tahira. If you only had one truma, and you don't know, did it become tomei? Did it not? Therefore, he was machmir because you don't have any fruits or any produce that is definitely tahir. Hocha ha'ika tahira. Over here, you've got one which is definitely tahir. It's just I don't know which one it is. Is that a problem? Is it not? Oidilma filu l'Rabbi Yosi. Or it could be even according to Rabbi Yosi. Loika omar. When did Rabbi Yosi say that safik by eruv lekula in the Mishnah elahosam is only in that case? Dim isadi tahira. Yodalo, because over there, in the event that it's tahir, because we assume there's a chazaka, and chazaka says it was tahir, and therefore we assume it's still tahir, yodalo, he knows exactly which one is tahir, and he can eat it. It's a valid eruv. Aval hocha here, holo yodalo. Over here, it doesn't help chazakas or not chazakas. You cannot eat either of them, because one of them is definitely truma tameya. That's the question, what's the halacha in such a case? Omar le, Rav Huna answered back to Rav Shmuel, "Bein Rav Yosi, bein Rav Meir, but inon su'uda haruyam mibo'idyoim veleka." And this is a new type of concept. We've had it a little bit. We mentioned it already on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that the eruv, besides so being a valid eruv through bein hashmashas, it also has to be a meal or food that is edible, it's fit to be eaten before bein hashmashas mibo'idyoim. And therefore, over here, where you've got the two kikros, the two loaves of truma, even though one of them is tahir, but you do not know which one it is, then at the end of the day, you're not allowed to eat any of them. It's not called a suda haruya. It's not edible to you before bein hashmashas. It's true that you don't have to eat the eruv, but it has to be edible to you even before bein hashmashas. And it's not, and therefore, according to everybody, the eruv is not a valid eruv. Continues the Gemara, Boy mene Rava mir Rav Nachman. Here Rav is asking a question to Rav Nachman. Kikar zu. If a person says, this loaf here, Hayoim, today on Erev Shabbos, Chol. I want it to continue being Chulin, today. Ulamachor Kodesh. I want that tomorrow, Shabbos, whenever Shabbos sets in, I want it to be Hektish. If it's Hektish, you cannot use it for an Erev. The question is, when is Lamochor? When does Shabbos start? And it's also a question, when does the Eruv have to be valid? At what point? We keep speaking about Bein HaShmoshes, but at what point during Bein HaShmoshes does the Eruv have to be valid and edible? All the while that it's Chulin, it's edible. As soon as it becomes Kodesh, it's not valuable. So kikar zu ayoyim choyl ulamochor kodesh va'omar, and he says iruvu li bezeh, I want you to use this for my eruv. Mahu, what's the halacha? Omale iruvoy eruv, the eruv is valid, which means that we assume that lamochor, that tomorrow starts after the eruv has already become valid, and therefore once the eruv became valid, it was still yesterday, so to speak, it was still chulin, and therefore the eruv was valid. And tomorrow, when it became kodesh, it was already after the eruv was valid, and therefore it's a good eruv. What's with a different case, an opposite case? Hayoim kodesh. Today is Friday. I want this loaf to be hektish. Ulamachor, and tomorrow chol. Whenever tomorrow starts, I want to. There's money I've got in my house. I want the money to redeem the hektish from this loaf, and I want this loaf to become chulin. Omar, and he says, Irvuli bezeh, I want this to be my eruv. Mahu, what's the halacha? When does tomorrow start? And is the eruv valid before tomorrow starts? If the eruv is valid before tomorrow starts, then it's not a good eruv, because today it's kodesh. However, if the eruv, if first tomorrow starts and then the eruv is valid, then it's already chol, it's chulin, and the eruv can be valid. That was the question. Omar loy ein eruvay eruv. The eruv is not valid. And now Rava asks of Nachman, Maishna. In both cases, irrespective of whether the Hekdash was going to only apply tomorrow, which is Shabbos, or the Hekdash applied today on Friday, either way we don't know when the Hekdash started or finished. Then Maishna, why in the first case you are being makel, you're being lenient, and you're assuming that the Eruv was valid before the Hekdash set on, which means you assume that the person wanted it only to become Hekdash after the end of Bein HaShmoshes, after the Eruv was already valid. But in the first case, where we don't know how long the Hekdash of Friday continues, there you're going L'chumra, you're being stringent, and you're assuming that the Eruv set in before the Hekdash terminated. Omar Li, Rav Nachman answered back to Rava, L'chitechel alei kura de melech. Go and measure out a kur, which is a very large volume, it's 30 saw of salt. When you manage to do that, I'll explain to you the difference between the two halachas. And this was a way very often in the Gemara that the Amoraim would speak to each other. But nonetheless, Rav Nachman immediately explains himself. Hayoim choil ulamochor kodesh. In the first case, where on Friday this loaf was chulin, and it was only going to become Hekdash on Shabbos, and we don't know when it became Hekdash, and the difference will be, is the Eruv valid or not, then misfeikalei nochsele kedusha. Since on Friday it was chulin, and we don't know when it became Hekdash, therefore we assume that it stays chulin till the last possible moment, and in the meantime, the Eruv was valid. Hayoim kodesh ulamochar choil, but in the second case, where on Friday it was kodesh and it was going to become chulin only on Shabbos, then misfeika loipok olei kedushose mine. The same applies in the Sefer. We don't know when the Hekdash terminated and the chulin started, and the difference will be what's with Eruv. And since on Friday it was Hekdash, we assume it stayed Hekdash till the very last moment, which means it only became Chulin right at the end of Bein HaShmoshes, and therefore the Eruv that had to be valid during Bein HaShmoshes is not valid. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going to discuss a little bit more in detail exactly when the Eruv, at what point the Eruv becomes valid. And Tosfos discusses how these two Gemaras actually work together, but we don't need to go into those details here. Tanan Hasson, we learnt in the Mishnah. Lagin Tvul Yoim. Lagin is a jug. A jug which held a lug. Tvul Yoim, we know that when Kalim became Tomei, they had to be toiveled. Even after they became toiveled, you have to wait for Her of Shemesh. You have to wait till Tseisak Echovim. You have to wait till the end of the day. Only after the day terminates, after it's been in the mikveh, only at that point you're allowed to put Truma and Hekdash into these Kalim. If you put Chulin into these Kalim after they were toivled, that's fine. The halach of Tvul Yoim only applies to Truma and Hekdash. If you put Truma and Hekdash into these Lugin before the end of the day, then they are Tomei. So you have this jug, which was a Tvul Yoim, that means in the hours between the Tvila and the end of the day, Shemil'uhu min hachovis, shel maisa tevel. He had a barrel of wine or of oil that was maisa sheni, that was tevel, which means it was maisa, not maisa sheni, it was maisa rishon that belonged to the Levi, and the Levi has not yet taken Trumas Maisa, which has to go to the Kohen, which means it's seriously osur to have and to use any of this wine or oil in the barrel. And he put 10% of the Maisa that was in the barrel, he put into this Lugin. And he didn't yet say it was going to be Truma, it was going to be Trumas Maisa. He just said it was good that he put 10% into these jugs, which these jugs are Tvul Yoim. And what did he put in? He put in Maisa Rishon. Maisa Rishon that's called Maisa Tevel. It's Maisa Rishon that's considered Tevel because he has not yet taken Truma Gedoyla from it. Va'omar, and he says, Hareze Trumas Maisa. What I want, what's in now in these jugs, in these Lugin now, I want it to become the Trumas Maisa for the oil or the wine that was in the barrel when the day is end, when it becomes dark and the next day starts. If he's going to make them Trumas Maisa now in the day, then it has the status of Truma. Truma in jugs that are Tvul Yoim are going to become Tomei. He doesn't want that to happen. He wants it to stay Maisa. Maisa, which is Tevel, but wants it to stay Maisa. And Maisa that touches, that goes into these jugs of Tvul Yoim, does not become Tomei. Only Truma and Hegdish. So he says, let it stay Maisa Tevel until the end of the day. At the end of the day, the jugs will be entirely Tahir. And then I want it to become Trumas Maisa for the rest of the Maisa Rishon in the barrel. And I'll be able to eat or drink the wine or the oil in the barrel. If he says that, Dvarav Kayomin, his words are valid. And that's what happens at nightfall. That's when it becomes Truma. At that point, the login already Tahir. And then the Maisa Rishon in the barrel becomes fit, becomes fixed and fit to be eaten. What happens if he says, I want the wine in the lugin, which is tomorrow at nightfall going to become truma, trumas maisa, if he says, I want that to be an eruv, either for a kohen or for Yisrael, according to those opinions that Yisrael can make an eruv with truma, he says, I want this to be an eruv. What's the halacha then? Lo omar klum. It's an invalid eruv. Why? Because when did it become truma? It became truma only at nightfall. Until then, it was tevel. And when does the eruv have to become valid? Before it becomes dark. Sometime during Bein Hashmashos. During Bein Hashmashos, it was still tevel. And we've already learned previously, if you cannot use tevel for an eruv, because it's not edible to anyone. So that's what we learned in a Mishnah. Omar Rava, so Rava is deducing from here, Zoy Soimeres, Seif Hayoim Koina Eruv. From the fact that the Eruv was not valid, it seems that the beginning of Bein Hashmashos, which marks the end of Friday, that's when the Eruv was valid. But however, when does the beginning of Shabbos start? At the end of Bein Hashmashos. And therefore, it only became Truma at the end of Bein Hashmashos. At the beginning of Bein Hashmashos, it was still Tevel. And since the Eruv had to become valid at the beginning of Bein Hashmashos, then it's not a valid Eruv. The Yisal Kedai Toch Tchilas Hayom Koina, if you say the Eruv becomes valid at the beginning of Shabbos, which is the end of Bein Hashmashos, Yomar Eruv Li Bezeh, if he says, I want this to be an Eruv for me, Amai Lo Omar Klum, why is it not a good Eruv? By the beginning of Shabbos, it's already become Truma. Once it's Truma, it's a valid Eruv. That was the opinion of Rava. Rava understood that an Eruv is Koina at the beginning of Bein Hashmashos. And Tosis on Amud Aleph explains why the Rava here isn't a contradiction to Rava's question that we saw before. Rava asked of Nachman, but you can look in Tosfos. Omer of Papa. Rav Papa argued with Rava and said, Afilu teim tchilas hayem koina Eruv. It could be that when is the Eruv valid? At the end of Bein Hashmashos. Not like Rava said. So then you're going to ask, if it's valid at the end of Bein Hashmashos, and over here, the end of Bein Hashmashos, it was already Truma, it was not Tevel anymore, why is the Eruv not a good Eruv? Says the Gemara, a concept we saw before, Ba'inon su'udu haru'uyam mi'ba'idyoim v'leka. In order for it to be an Eruv on Shabbos, it has to be edible before Shabbos. And since before Shabbos it was Tevel, it was totally not edible, therefore, it's not a good Eruv. Even though the Eruv, in actual fact, only becomes valid at nightfall, and at that point it already should be valid because it's already become Truma, it's not Tevel anymore, but since it was not edible before Shabbos on Friday, therefore it's not a valid Eruv. Continues the next Mishnah. Masne Odom al Eruvoi Va'oimir. A person can make a condition. A Tanai is a condition. What condition is he going to make? And let's get back into the geography. Let's get our case straight. We have Reuven, who is now in A. Reuven wants to go to B, which is 4,000 amos away. And he cannot go 4,000 amos. He sends a shliach with some food representing him to C. And that becomes his Eruv. And then on Shabbos, in the event that the Eruv is valid, Reuven can go from A to B via his place where his food is, see. Now, in actual fact, the way the Eruv works is that we assume his place of residence when Shabbos came in to be where the food is, which is sea. That means he cannot go beyond 2,000 amos in any direction from sea. His home, A, is at the edge of 2,000 amos in one direction. B, which is his final destination, is 2,000 amos the other direction. He can walk those 4,000 amos, but he cannot go from A to the other side, away from B and C, towards D the other way, because that would be more than 2,000 amos from C, where his Eruv is. That is a regular case. Now, what happens if Reuven does not know if he wants to go to B, which is 4,000 amos to the east, or if he wants to go to D, which is 4,000 amos to the west? And if he's going to decide to go to D, 4,000 amos to the west, he's going to have to make an Eruv E, hope we don't get confused, an Eruv E, which is exactly in between, is 2,000 amos between A and D. So if this person doesn't know, does he want to go to B, 4,000 amos to the east, or to D, 4,000 amos to the west, then first and foremost, he has to make two Eruvs. He has to make Eruv C, which is exactly between A and B, and he also has to make an Eruv E, which is on the west, which is exactly between A and D. And now he's got two Eruvs, but you can't have two Eruvs, because an Eruv means that this is where your residence is at the onset of Shabbos. Your residence is either going to be where you are in person, or if you make an Eruv, where your Eruv is, but you cannot have an assumed residence in two places. There's no way you can have two Eruvs at any one time. You cannot have the sentence of your residence, which allows you 2,000 amos in all directions, to be in more than one place. It's either in A, when no Eruv is valid, or it's going to be C, and that allows you to go between A and B, or it's going to be at E, and then you can go between A and D, but not more than that. This person, he knows that there's a Chacham supposed to be coming from the east, from where B is, and he knows that there's a Chacham that he wants to go meet coming from the west, which is where D is, and he doesn't know which Chacham is going to come first. He doesn't know if they're both going to come or only one are going to come. He wants the privilege of being able to choose later. Mvarer, Brera. Brera means to choose. I want to be able to clarify later whether I want to use Eruv C or Eruv E. Can you do that? Says the Mishnah. Masne Adam, a person can make a condition al Eruvai with his Eruv Omer and say, Imbo Nochrim, the first case is not the Rebbe coming, the Chacham coming is talking about if Goyim are coming. Imbo Nochrim in Amizrach, if the Goyim are going to come from the Mizrach, which is from the east, Eruvai Lemairiv, he's going to want to run away from them, he's going to want to go to the west. And he wants the west Eruv to be the Eruv. He wants E to be the Eruv to allow him to go from A to D. Min Amairiv, if the Goyim come from the west, Eruv Oy LeMizrach, then he wants the eastern Eruv to be valid to allow him to go from A to B. He wants the C Eruv to be valid. Imbo Lekan Ulekan, if the Goyim are going to come from both directions, then I want I want the privilege to be able to decide then to either go to the east or to go to the west. In the event that the Goyim do not come, not from the east and not from the west, then I want A to be my place of residence. I want to have the privilege of 2,000 amos around A, and I do not want C to be my Eruv, and I do not want E to be my Eruv. That's what the Mishnah says. Another case, Imbo Chacham in Amizrach, he makes a condition and says, if the Chacham comes from the Mizrach, from the east, Eruv Oy LeMizrach, I want to go meet him. So if the Chacham's coming from B, I want C to be my Eruv, so I can go from A towards B. Min HaMayriv, if the Chacham is coming from the west, then, and I want to then go from A to D, then I want the E Eruv to be an Eruv. If a chacham comes from both directions, two chachamim coming, one in each direction, I want to be able to decide on Shabbos which one is going to be my eruv. If no chacham comes on Shabbos, I want the place where I'm actually residing when Shabbos comes in, I want that to be my residence, no eruv. That is what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, im hoyo echod me'en rabbo, if two chachomim come, and we said, according to Tanakhama, Tanakhama says if two chachomim come, he can choose whichever one he wants. Rabbi Yehuda says that's only if neither of them was his Rebbe. Im hoyo echod me'en rabbo, if one of them was his Rebbe, we assume that when he made this condition, then he meant to say that if one was my Rebbe, I want that one to be the Eruv. Then he has to only, he's only allowed to use the Eruv, which is on the side where his Rebbe is coming. In the event that both of them were his Rebbes, then indeed he can choose whichever one he wants. Says the Gemara. Ki also Rabbi Yitzchak, Toni Ipcha, Kulo Masnisin. Rabbi Yitzchak had a version of the Mishnah where everything was exactly the opposite. That the Goyim, instead of saying, if the goyim come from the east, I want to go to the west, and if the goyim come from the west, I want to go to the east, he said the opposite. If the goyim come from the east, I want to go to the east, and if the goyim come from the west, I want to go to the west. And the same with the Rav. If the chacham comes from the right, I want to go to the left. If the chacham comes from the left, I want to go to the right. Everything was the opposite way around. Kasha nochrim am nochrim. There was a contradiction between the two versions regarding which direction he wants to go if the goyim come. Kasha chochem achochem. And there was a contradiction between the two versions as to which direction he wants to go in when regarding if a chochem is coming. Answers the Gemara, nochrim am nochrim loy kasha. We can explain both versions regarding the goyim. Ha beparaganvno, in the case where there are tax collectors coming, where there he wants to run away. If the tax collectors are coming from the right, he wants to go to the left. If they come from the left, he wants to go to the right. However, in the event that the people, the goyim who are coming, are the rulers of the city, there he wants to go towards them, either to appeal to them for something, or to appease them, or to protest about something that's going on. He wants to go and meet them. And if so, if they're coming from the right, he wants to go and meet them on the right. If they're coming from the left, he wants to go and meet them from the left. Chochem achochem loikashya, and regarding the contradiction as to whether he wants to go towards the chochem or away from the chochem, is also not a contradiction. Ha b'moisiv pirki, ha b'mikri shema. One is if a chochem is coming where he's going to give a drasha, then he wants to go towards that chochem in order to hear his divrei Torah. However, if the chacham is, if he knows that there are two chachamim coming, one of them is coming to teach the youngsters how to read the Shema, the other one is coming to give the drasha, and he knows that the one that's coming to teach the children to say Shema is going to come, he knows he's going to come before the other chacham, in which case, there he wants to go in the other direction. If he sees the chacham is coming to teach the children to say Shema, coming from the right, he knows that the chacham is going to teach him Torah is coming from the left, he wants to go to the left. If the Rebbe that's coming to teach them how to read the Shema is coming from the left, he knows the chacham is going to give a drasha is coming from the right, he wants to go to the right. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer im hoyo echod mehem v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that if one of them was his Rebbe, we assume he wants to go in the direction to hear his Rebbe's divrei Torah. V'rabbonon, according to the Chachomim, it seems, they say that even if one of them is his Rebbe and the other one isn't, we do not assume that he wants to go to where his Rebbe is coming from. Maybe he wants to go to the other one. And it's important because if he says at the beginning of Shabbos, if my Rebbe is coming from the right, I want to go to the right, then he cannot go to the left. Because he already made that condition. The condition was valid at the onset of Shabbos, that depending on what's going to happen later, that's the Eruv that was valid when Shabbos came in. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if one of them is his Rebbe, we take it for granted that when the onset of Shabbos, the Eruv that was valid was the one going towards his Rebbe. According to the Rabbanon, it seems that even in the event that his Rebbe comes from one direction and the other direction a different chacham comes, we do not assume that this person wants to go to his Rebbe. And therefore, it's not taken for granted that that's the Eruv that's valid and he can still choose which one he wants to go to. Why can we not assume that from the onset he intended going to his Rebbe? Says the Gemara, no. Zimnin denichale b'chavrei tvei mirabei. Sometimes he wants to go to another colleague and chacham to hear divrei Torah rather than going to his own Rebbe. For different reasons, he might feel more comfortable to ask questions to somebody who's not his Rebbe. Or whatever the reasons are, it's not taken for granted that a person necessarily wants to go and hear the drasha from his Rebbe. He may want to go to another chacham. And even though it looks like we're in the middle of a sugya, we're going to leave it here now, because the next sugya is a sugya of Breira, which is a shas sugya of how and when we use the rules of Breira, how you can assume it's the Erev has to become valid when Shabbos comes in. And you can say, depending on what's going to happen later, that's what's going to determine which Erev was valid. That type of condition is called Breira. It's called being able to choose later what actually took place, what became valid earlier. That concept of Breira is the concept we're going to learn in the next daf, Emirat Hashem.